Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 24, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, the 24th of July 2019. The Israeli people's insensitivity to the wave of anti-Semitism that has already covered nearly the whole world, as well as their insensitivity to the increasing animosity toward them by Jews in the diaspora, is an enormous threat to their existence. The word mitzvah commandment is rooted in the word tzavta, connection between people and between people and the Creator. There is no instruction from the Creator other than fulfilling the commandment, mitzvah, of uniting among us and with the Creator. Unknown to themselves, Jews are the ones that hold the method of the world's correction, Kabbalah. There is no other force acting in the world besides the Creator. Since he has endowed only Jews with the possibility to change the world, he has unwillingly made them responsible for the state of the world. Don't blame the world, but correct it. The Creator pits the nations against the Jews and the Jews against themselves, until they realize that it's the upper force governing them and obliging them to unite, and through them, uniting the nations of the world. Israel is foolish to waste money and energy on propaganda to persuade the nations to change toward the state of Israel. Kabbalah, the method of egoism's correction, was concealed so the nation of Israel would intermix with the nations through earthly desires. This is why it had to leave the connection with spirituality or go into exile. That was how the Jews intermixed with the nations, and correction became possible since the times of the Ari, the 16th century. A Jew hates himself for the spiritual structure that exists in him, which is called Jew Yehudi, from the word Yud, unity. He would like to show the world, I am removing this quality from myself, now I'm the same as you, but this quality cannot be removed. And that's what perpetually bothers him. If Jews do not consciously come closer to one another in order to transmit the Creator's light, the force of unity of all nations, to rise above the egoistic animate nature, then that same force of nature, the Creator, compels them to do this by awakening hatred of them, anti-Semitism, in the nations. With his light, the Creator brings out the breaches of connections between us, setting us against each other, bringing out our polarities, consequences of the soul's breaking, so the need for unity will become more evident, for our sake and for the sake of the world's correction. Anti-Semitism brings us closer, but it is not correction. Jews have been hated throughout all times. The hatred began the moment Jews fell from brotherly love into unfounded hatred. That is when anti-Semitism was born in the world. We are hated for the bad relationships among us, since the world's correction depends and transpires only through our connection. Based on the fact that two natures, spiritual and corporeal, manifest and exist in us, Jews and non-Jews, but aspiring to the soul, we must show everyone how to ascend to the spiritual nature by uniting among us in groups. Mourning the destruction of the temple means experiencing pain in the heart that must be felt due to one's partaking in the destruction. Correction is possible only after recognizing the cause. Mourning is not about a date, but about a state that prepares us for correction. We are already in the period of correction. Even the smallest correction inside Israel cannot happen if it does not incorporate the nations of the world. Because it is precisely for them, the nations of the world, that all correction is carried out. As written, Israel went into exile only in order to attach the souls of other nations to them. Every Jew, like any person, involuntarily does not wish for suffering and hatred from the society in which he lives. He wants to dissolve in society and to be treated as normal, and will therefore always be for America or for Europe, and against Israel. And he will hide in this. With the destruction of the Second Temple, the nation fell from the spiritual degree to the corporeal one. It no longer feels the spiritual world and exists only in our world. And their attitude to the point in the heart, spiritual aspiration, in them became egoistic. That is, the Jews hate themselves, their spiritual root. Why is there so much anti-Semitism on the internet, such as in YouTube comment sections and social media? Quora. Michael Leitman, on Quora. Why is there so much anti-Semitism on the internet, such as in YouTube comment sections and social media? I don't think that there is a particularly unique role of the internet in relation to the rise of anti-Semitism. It is simply a platform for people to express whatever they feel, and they can write as much as they want there. However, anti-Semitic comments on this electronic medium are merely an expression of anti-Semitic sentiment that has been around for generations, regardless of the internet. Anti-Semitism is a natural phenomenon depending solely on the Jews. The world is under nature's governance, and Jews hold the potential to be above nature in their ability to bring themselves and the whole of humanity closer to the revelation of the upper force. What does it mean that the Jews have the ability to be above nature? It means that the Jews became known as Jews through the spiritual unity, love your friend as yourself, they discovered under Abraham's guidance in ancient Babylon. The Hebrew word for Jew, Yehudi, comes from the word for united, Yehudi, Yarodavash, part 2, Drush number 2. Such unity is considered as above nature, because human nature is a desire to enjoy for self-benefit alone. Unity with and love for others is foreign to human nature, and thus, achieving unity among people requires a special revelation of the upper force, a connecting force of love and bestowal, in order to rise above our nature to the second, spiritual nature. The Jews lost contact with this spiritual nature about 2,000 years ago when they went into exile and dispersed around the world. However, the fact that the Jews once attained spiritual unity remains latent within them, and as the need for such unity starts becoming sensed on a global scale, with a lot of problems revealing worldwide that have no comprehensive solution but in rising to a higher, spiritual level, then there is an increasing demand on the Jewish people by the nations of the world, who subconsciously expect a solution to their problems from the Jews. Thus, anti-Semitism rises in order to pressure Jews around the world to wake up to their role. The Times of Israel published my new article, Tisha B'Av, Rising Above the Straits. American society is fragmented to pieces. The polarization of the political spectrum did not start with the recent controversy involving the current U.S. administration and four Democratic Congresswomen labeled as anti-Israeli and anti-Semitic. But the dispute certainly highlighted the abyss between the right and left in a way that has dragged Jews and Israel into the brawl from both sides. Now is precisely the time for Jews to connect above differences and provide an example of unity to all. We have just entered the period of time called Bin HaMetzarim, between the Straits, which begins on the 17th of Tammuz and ends on the 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av, during which we commemorate the destruction of the first and second temples. This special time could never be more pertinent than now. The ruin of the temples, in fact, symbolizes the shattering of our human relations, a true reason for mourning, but we can also find joy in the situation if we recognize it as an opportunity to rebuild ties of unity between us. Repairing the current political divide in America, especially during the already exacerbating campaign climate of the 2020 election, has nothing to do with Trump, specific members of Congress, or either side of the political spectrum. The problem is much wider and deeper. The divisions are between American Jewry and the Israeli nation, between Muslims and Jews, and within U.S. society as a whole. The myriad aggravations signal an urgent imperative for change in human relations that Jews must initiate and lead by rising above all the divisions that separate us. Why must Jews lead the charge? It is because the Jewish people possess precisely what America and the world desperately needs, the key for a cohesive and harmonious existence. Jewish unity must now be our first priority. It is the historical purpose of Jews to demonstrate unity within their ranks as a model of corrected social relations for others to follow. We became a nation at the foot of Mount Sinai only when each person present accepted the condition of being as one man with one heart. In the centuries that followed, Jews practiced principles of connection enabling them to rise above their differences for the creation of ideal social cohesion and unprecedented human development. It was only during the long exile that followed the ruin of the Second Temple that this unity was forgotten. Therefore, why should we mourn the destructions of Tisha B'Av at this particular time? It is because, since the 16th century when the great Kabbalist, the Uri, Rav Isaac Luria, declared the opening of the process of correction for all humanity, our negligence in repairing the shattering perpetuates the destruction. By delaying this process we block the building of the Third Temple, meaning the correction of the shattering in our connections. Our state of shattered connection is what's truly considered the ruin of the temples, a state in which we have lost consciousness of ourselves as a single entity. Thus, there is both great joy in our opportunity for correction that the shattering brings us while, on the other hand, there is sorrow over our fragmentation under the forces constantly emerging to damage our connection. Our state is a manifestation of the principle that, in spirituality, we always encounter two opposites in the same place in order to advance. Now is the time to be proactive. We Jews, the bearers of the tenet love your neighbor as yourself, must rise to the challenge, put down our internal disputes, and unite above them. As King Solomon stated, hate stirs strife, and love covers all crimes, Proverbs 10:12. This is the true and positive call to action that we should take from this special period of reflection. It is the one act that will guarantee our safety and happiness in America and wherever we live. The Structure of the Universe, Part 4. Restriction, Malkuth's Refusal to Accept the Light. Question: if the development of the world would have stopped at the first stage, would we be like animals with no independent desire to receive? Answer: yes. Question: and if everything had stopped at stage 4 and not developed any further, then even though this desire was independent, we still could not control it? Answer: it is still not an independent desire because even though it breaks and aims toward the pleasure on its own, it is directed toward the pleasure dictated by Keter. It wants to be fulfilled according to its nature. This desire realizes that it wants the same thing that Keter wants. Malkuth feels that she receives from Keter and chooses what she wants to receive from it. It is precisely because she herself wants to receive from Keter that she continues to develop internally and realizes that she is not free, that she is controlled by these pleasures and desires. Meaning, the plus and the minus control her completely. Thus, the property of freedom emerges in Malkuth. She does not want to submit either to the lack of fulfillment or to the desire to be filled. She wants to feel independent because it feels that this property is present in Keter. He is the first, nothing is before him. Now, a few more states develop in Malkuth. She feels as an imperfect creation, she wants to become similar to Keter, similar to her creator. She feels that the creator is absolutely free and is above bestowal and reception. But she is controlled by either the lack of fulfillment or by being fulfilled. Meaning, she has no free will, no independent I, and the influence of both the plus and the minus control her completely. She begins to feel that she has no freedom, that she is fully controlled. We call this feeling the revelation of the evil of one's own nature, which is subject to either pleasure or the lack thereof. This feeling brings Malkuth the sensation of shame from the fact that she has no free will and that she, in principle, is fully controlled. It is the feeling of being under complete control that gives rise to the need for an independent action. This stops her so much so that she stops having any kind of contact with the light. This state is called Tzimtzum, restriction. The sensation of the creature that it is completely controlled and has nothing of its own, nothing independent, forces it to restrict its actions, its desire. It wants to stop completely. The creature is ready to eradicate the previous state, when it was fully controlled, in itself, to extinguish it. Therefore, this state is called restriction. In other words, when Malkuth feels that there is no opportunity to act freely, she is ready to do anything to avoid feeling controlled. Question: does the shame that Malkuth feels come from being completely controlled or from being opposite to the upper force that created it? Answer: it is practically the same thing. From Cab TV's Basics of Kabbalah, the 27th of November 2018. New Life 426. Security and Jews Against Jews.
Hello and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. Today we'd like to have a special talk with Dr. Lightman due to the state that our country is going through, and there are different opinions regarding the situation itself, and we'd like to see how can we connect above all these different opinions. So be with us. Tal, please. Yeah, we're experiencing a lot of pressure, a serious threat from the outside of Israel. And we know that besides coping with the physical threat, we know that there is also a war over the international public opinion going on. And we see that we're pretty much losing the fight. Giant protests against Israel all over the world. The media and the press, they're all against Israel, presenting Israel as a bloodthirsty country, something which is very far from how we see ourselves and our country. And we also see a very strong surge in anti-Semitism all over the world, that people say that the last time we witnessed something like this was in the 1930s. And with all this pressure going on, we also witnessed among ourselves different voices, even though that there was a pretty broad consensus regarding the operation, still there were critical voices, and this caused zero tolerance towards people who had any kind of criticism towards what the army is doing. We saw it in the media, on the networks, real violence between those that represent the national consensus and those who dared say something against the operation. And we think that it's really important to talk about both our intolerance towards diverse opinions and also the opinions that we can call anti-Israeli. It's something that exists within our nation, meaning that we have some very harsh self-criticism, and we'd like to understand where does it come from and how to cope with it. So the question is, what is this harsh self-criticism that many of the Israelis have towards themselves? Look, first of all, the question is, it's a very interesting question. What's happening among our own nation? There is no such nation where a person who suppose French, he wants to be Spanish or English. Here in Israel, yes, someone who's Jewish doesn't want to be Jewish. He'd be happy to be French, English, German, doesn't matter who. Meaning, among our people, in our sense of belonging to the Jewish people, there is a certain flaw that we have this kind of thought altogether. And as a result, The nation is being criticized. Its current state is being criticized. Its general and particular attitude. It all stems as a result of us not being united around the definition of what our people is. We're not a people, genetically wise. We don't grow up in some specific place together. We don't come from some ancient tribe that lived together in some place, and as a result, we became a nation like the rest of the nations. And suppose afterwards we move from place to place, but genetically wise, we as if belong to a certain mother and father. Suppose one. There was a family, and from that family we grew and grew. It became a village, and then maybe a city, and then maybe it turned into a country. Like it is with those people that dispersed from ancient Babylon, that dispersed according to different tribes. There were many small nations in Babylon. Different tribes, and they dispersed according to who they are, according to their nature. So, in time, they became Spanish, French, German, they dispersed to India and China and Japan, and those went to Africa and so on. Josephus Flavius, he writes about it in a very interesting and elaborate way, about how the different tribes dispersed from ancient Babylon. This happened 3,800 years ago. And from all of Babylon, and from all these tribes, and from all the different factions you had there, because all in all, it wasn't something homogeneous. People gathered around Abraham according to their spiritual approach, according to the spiritual principle. That they wanted to reach a connection between them in order to discover the upper force of nature inside their connection. That force is one, that it's operating on everyone and everything together in this one global system, and in order to discover this force, you have to be in accordance with it. And it's possible to discover it only when different, distant people, even if they hate each other, they connect above the hatred, and then they build a mutual sense, a unified sense. This is how they connected, and therefore, first of all, among our people, there are plenty of opinions, many different kinds of inclinations, because we're actually a collection from all of those tribes that lived back then, from all of those 70 nations that didn't want to remain a part of the ordinary people, but they wanted to connect and belong to the upper force, to discover the upper force, to study the upper force, to reach the purpose of creation, the peak of creation. They gathered. Meaning, on the one hand, we have the root of the 70 nations, that this is where all of us came from. On the other hand, we have a spiritual root. And these roots, they're opposed to each other. In addition to the roots of the 70 nations being opposed to each other. And therefore we're so different, and no one can stand the others, and we can't connect, and we connect only in times of trouble, and not like other nations that feel that they're somehow connected, that they somehow belong to each other, because biologically they're part of one root, of one mother and father. And we're not. And therefore, I'd say that we're a very special, artificial, supernatural nation. And the argument is correct. There is no such people as the Jewish people, as the nation of Israel. It's something that we can't approach with our ordinary measuring tools and say, okay, this is a nation. But because over time we mixed between ourselves, we therefore became something that resembles an ordinary people. And also you have the Kohens, the Levies, Israel, you have the differences in genes, everything that the biologists study about us. So we can't compare the people of Israel with the other nations according to ordinary standards. Because we can never learn from one about the other, meaning to learn about our nation from other nations or to learn about other nations from our nation. It's really something special. Where does this self-criticism come from? As a result of there being inside each and every one of us a root from the 70 nations of the world, and also besides that there's the spiritual root, where then the spiritual root is called the people of Israel, and that root was once in spirituality. We rose together with it. We attained the connection. Within the connection, we attained the one force of nature. And then we fell from that degree. And when we fell, we lost the feeling of that force and our connection with it. So we have Rishimot, a kind of impression, a recollection from each of these states, each and every one of us, and also none of us can be at peace with ourselves, because every Jew is very diverse, complex. Still, we see that the criticism, it comes from a certain camp, from within our people, especially from the radical part of that camp. There are people who have right-wing opinions, left-wing opinions, from the center. They were able to unite. But people from the radical left, with anti-Israeli views, they couldn't become a part of everyone. They agreed with the attacks against us. There were those that initiated boycotts against Israel, calling it an apartheid state. Where does their hate for Israel come from? Again, because once we were in a spiritual ascent, and we knew the upper force. We were cleaved onto it. And then we fell from that degree. So now we have a reshimo from that state. What is a reshimo? A reshimo, it's something that registered in us, something that exists in us. And we don't agree with that degree now because it's opposite to corporeality as a whole. And so, inside of each and every one of us, there is this true spiritual anti-Israelism. And it depends on the extent to which this impression exists in us, but it exists in each and every one of us. In some more, in some less, but it exists in everyone. And also it's in accordance with a person's development, and sometimes this reshimo surges in a person, and sometimes each one of us feels anti, and sometimes the other way around. And so each one of us is very complex, going through many different kinds of states. Okay, so we see that it's working pretty destructively against our society. It creates separation and tension, so much that Jews around the world, they themselves, in many places, in many cases, they're the ones who initiate these attacks against the people of Israel, against Judaism, against everything that has to do with it. Would you call it self-hate? It's not self-hate, because it depends what you mean by self. That a person doesn't agree with the Jew within him. He discovers at that time inside himself his root of the 70 nations, that that's where he came from in ancient Babylon, and the root of the Jew in the meantime quiets in him, is more concealed, and what's more conspicuous is the root of that tribe that he came from the 70 tribes or nations, and then he's closer to the nation or the country where he lives, and not necessarily to the people of Israel or the country of Israel. What's important for such a person to understand regarding his state? Only if we explain to that person, where do we come from, what's happening with us, what does he consist of, that really each and every Jew in the world is very, it's a very complex creature. I'd say complicated, entangled. And in order to correctly direct or form him, we have to educate our people. Our people, after 2,000 years of exile, have no idea who they are. We can talk about the smartest, most educated person, or the simplest person. Illiterate, doesn't matter who. Regarding this discernment of what Israel is, who Israel is, where did the people of Israel come from, what exactly happened to it throughout history, how did they form themselves, what happened to them during the times of the temples, where back then we were on a spiritual level. What is that spiritual level that we have attained? Why are we a part of that? What does it mean that we went through the shattering and destruction and exile, something that doesn't exist in any other place? Why to this day we're called the people of Israel in exile? 2,000 years went by. What happened? Why didn't we simply dissolve, disappear among the nations? We really wanted to disappear among the nations. And still, we can't. Why do the nations of the world keep having this attitude towards us despite the entire development? If we're talking about the Middle Ages, where the nations of the world are barbaric and so on, but now, how could it be? With all the technology and connection and culture and education, how could it be that these stigmas towards the people of Israel still exist and flourish? So many people have a simple explanation. The people of Israel is a conquering people. They commit crimes by not allowing a certain population to live a normal life, and that's why people hate them. This is something that you can sell only to the uneducated people with a very narrow opinion. What this has to do only with this short period in time, with the recent dispute. It's true. You can also say about that. But when you take 20, 30 years from a history of 2,000-3,000 years, that's not an answer. What I want to say is, it's not that we're starting now to scrutinize why is it happening, but we have to understand that our people have a lack of Jewish, Israeli education about who and what they are. If we really can't get rid of this seal that we're the people of Israel and I'm Jewish even though that I live in one part of the world and you're Jewish even if you live on the other side of the world. We all come from the four ends of the world. It doesn't matter. We have to know what's going on here. And no one knows. No one. No matter how much people study history and geography and about our people at schools and so on, no one knows. The truth entirely exists within the wisdom of Kabbalah. We're connected to it. Our people, its constitution, is a spiritual one. And it exists in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and that's what we're tied to. And we can't escape it. We have gathered around Abraham according to this root, that we have to be united, and in that unity to attain the upper force. And this is the reason for which our nation was established back then. And so this entire constitution, statute of love another as thyself, belongs to our people. And we exist correspondingly. We don't have the ability to exist unless we know about ourselves. And to know about ourselves meaning about our spiritual root, not our animalistic corporeal root like the rest of humanity, or like from a different world. There's even this theory that Jews came from a different planet. The nations of the world feel that we're that different, and we're really different. We came from a different planet. We came from the heaven. Our root comes from the heaven, and it exists in us, and we have to discover it. And why is it so, and where does it come from, and why doesn't it leave us? Because we have a certain mission, and therefore, without knowing what the wisdom of Kabbalah is, which is our book of laws, which is a mechanism according to which we're connected and exist. Without that, we won't know what's happening with us. And therefore, now we're reaching a state where, whether we want it or not, as much as we're anti-Israel, pro-Israel, anti-Zionism, pro, doesn't matter. We won't know what to do about it unless we'll know what our basis is, our connection, our goal, the process of how to reach that goal, and what are we doing in the world. I'd like to invite a friend of mine into the studio, a very intelligent person that I talked to recently. And he said there's no such thing as the people of Israel. It's a hollow concept that symbolizes nothing. It's something imaginary. This is what he thinks about the people of Israel. It's an old, limited paradigm that we have to relieve ourselves from. Wait a second. He's from the Shomer HaTzair. Yes. What does his ideology say? That we have to be more universal, not to look at a person according to his nationality. But do we or don't we have to be Jewish? For him, it's a paradigm. It's not reality. What do you mean it's not reality? There's someone who's French, German, Dutch. He says that it's something invented by people. What do you mean, an invention? If everyone points at me that I'm Jewish, then I'm Jewish. Negatively wise, but still, I'm being differentiated, and I'm told that you are part of the people of Israel. He told me, I traveled a lot around the world, and I encountered very little anti-Semitism, mostly because of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And mostly anti-Semitism is a response to Jews claiming that they have some special role. And what would you like me to say? I have nothing to tell him. He simply doesn't understand the entire map. He's not reading it correctly. He was taught in some corner in the Shomer HaTzair, in some place, I don't know by whom and what. And that's it. It's a certain ideology. So there are thousands of those around the world, many such people. No, I'm not even talking about people. Ideologies. So what? I'm not looking at that. Anyone can invent something of their own. Yeah, but there are many such opinions. But I don't understand. What do you want for me to cope with these things that people invented? No, but it actually reflects that we're pretty far from the way of thinking that you're talking about. True? And it just shows us the problem that we're in. I talked to a friend from the university that says that she doesn't identify with the definition of the people of Israel. She first of all sees herself as a person, then Israeli, then maybe Jewish. Meaning there is a very big difference between us and our root. How do we cope with that? First of all, we have to differentiate two things here. One thing is that I want to escape what I truly am, that I don't know who I am, and the truth about who I am and what do I nonetheless have to do according to the plan of creation. So there's the existent situation and the preferable situation. There are two things. I also went through all these things because I grew up in a country where there was anti-Semitism and hate toward Jews, something that didn't exist in the rest of the world, something that did exist in Russia after the war and with Stalin and everything. And I felt it on myself, on my own flesh, both in terms of being accepted to the university and how to advance my career and how to find a workplace, and so on and so forth. And correspondingly, I also didn't want to be Jewish. I didn't want to be a part of a group that has no place in this world, in society, until, because I had no choice, I started scrutinizing what's going on. What is this special phenomenon that's impacting me in such a negative way that I have to get to know what it is? I have to study it, and I can't escape it altogether. And there's something here that I have to know because I have no other choice if I already exist. And this is how I reached a state where I started studying the matter. And this research brought me to the wisdom of Kabbalah. By the way, there's lots of anti-Semitism in the world right now, and it's hard to understand how don't people see it. They don't want to see it. Also, in the Israeli media, you don't hear much about it. No, here no one wants to hear about it. First of all, because we don't care about what's going on in the world on the one hand. On the other hand, the Israeli media doesn't want to show something that's against it. The Israeli media is very left-wing, and for the leftists, it's not worthwhile showing that the entire world is against Israel, maybe against a certain political view of the government or a certain government and so on. That's another thing. But if we're talking about the nation in general, it means that it's also against them, so they don't want to show it, and therefore you don't see it anywhere. Why is it so hard for us to hear that there's something special about us, that we belong to something? Because it's obligating. I want to be like everyone. I want to hide and be like everyone. Why not? In the world, there are more than 200 countries. I want to be a part of one of them. Why be conspicuous? What's good about it? We're conspicuous in everything anyway. And it's not some kind of condescending that aims direct this hatred towards us. This is something that I heard from many people. We're condescending, and this is why people hate us. I don't think that we want to be conspicuous, but this is how it happens, whether we like it or not. We are conspicuous. And of course, in anything that humanity appreciates, you have Jews there, and they're succeeding. How is it possible to hide this fact that 13 million people are creating such a problem in the world, and they're prominent in any science, any profession? Wherever you put your finger, all in all, 13 million people, and how many of them are in the range of ages that they're active, suppose a quarter, and compared to humanity, it's not even a big village in China. And look what they're doing with humanity. Of course, it's a phenomenon that it's hard for humanity to stand, especially that there's a spiritual root here, that they feel that's what's going on here is that there are strange people here, that we don't know what to do about them, that they excel in culture and education and science and in everything, then, oh well, such is life. But besides that, each and every nation feels that it has something against Jews naturally, but the anti-Israelism that exists among Jews, this is something which is natural. It's natural because, again, we have gathered into a group around Abraham from all the different nations that existed back then in ancient Babylon. And in each of us remain that root from each and every one of the nations. And besides that, we got the spiritual root. And when the spiritual root was conspicuous and it was active, then we were the people of Israel. And when we fell from the degree of that root, then we're like all the other nations, and even worse. And it also says so, that if Israel fall, they fall lower than all the other nations. And those roots of the other nations, the original roots, they speak in us more than our root does. And therefore we want to learn from them, be like them, agree with their criticism, of course. And therefore it's natural that this happens. So, more or less in everyone. So, what should be the correct response to these kinds of opinions among us? I'm talking about the radical opinions that really negate the entire existence of the State of Israel, that doubt our right to exist here altogether. What should be our correct response? Our correct response should be that we will start understanding who we really are and why is this happening with us. What do we consist of? What is the process that we went through? What is the process that we have to go through? What is our role in the world? Why are all the nations of the world blaming us? They're actually saying that they depend on us. If they're saying that all the problems in the world are because of Israel, it means that Israel are so strong, so special, so high, so conspicuous and prominent that they can do evil to the world. 13 million people. There are very few countries that are smaller than ours. I'm not talking in terms of area. I'm talking about the number of people. And here, inside the land of Israel, we're 6-7 million. And how can we do something like that? Where does this come from? They actually want to say that we are the source. We're the, let's call it, the faucet through which something bad or something good comes to the world. That it's possible that we can behave differently and then be the source of all the good things in the world. And good doesn't mean that we'll get more Nobel Prizes and invent bright inventions. But we're stopping some kind of abundance of tranquility. It's not a technical kind of wisdom, but it's something that comes to people and calms them down and connects them correctly, uniting them for all of us to live in tranquility and peace, so we can think about everyone in the world and that we'll be able to connect in a way that everyone will have a good, calm, safe life in the world. Subconsciously, they feel that it's up to us, and therefore they have complaints against us, and we're in an ongoing crisis, and we have to understand that the pressure against us will go and grow, because the greater the pressure on the world, the more they will punish and blame us for them feeling bad, because they have a very clear opinion that it is all coming through us, even though that we ourselves don't know and don't understand why is it this way. But yes, they are sure, and I think that this is something that finally has to interest us. We have to study and understand anti-Semitism. We have to learn what is the reason for it. And for this, we need the wisdom of Kabbalah, meaning that which explains about our root. And our root is not corporeal. We did not become a nation like all other nations did. We're a nation only due to our spiritual root, coming from the source of being united together in brotherly love, and love another as thyself, which is something that does not exist in our world. It's a spiritual degree, it's a spiritual root, and it's something that we have to achieve once again. Suppose I have left-wing views, and my opinion is that people hate us for different reasons. So let's sit and learn. We can argue, we can scrutinize things, agree, disagree, but let's open up what we have and find out. Without that, we have zero chances of understanding what's going on in the world, what's going on with us, with our people, with everything. And this is also what Kabbalists said back then. How can we start establishing the state of Israel, meaning having some borders, some kind of system in which the nation of Israel will live in, if we don't know who the people of Israel are? If we don't understand the kind of network that we have to build for it, the kind of political connections, social connections, and so on that we have to have. How can we do that? We built it like any other country in the world, so of course it doesn't fit us. We see that this country is ill, it's sick, that everything that's happening with us, it's not happening in a healthy way. We took examples from the nations of the world where each and every country is based on its own laws, on the laws of the nations of the world, which are more or less similar to each other. And correspondingly, we also built the same country for ourselves, called the State of Israel. It's neither the State of Israel or the people of Israel that can live in this kind of system. We put into this matrix, into this mold of the nations of the world, we put the people of Israel in there, and it can't work. Meaning we don't remember who we are. No, I'm not even talking about remembering or not remembering. I'm saying that we brought plenty of people from all over the world, and we started connecting them and putting them into certain connections and slots that we took from the nations of the world, and it doesn't fit the people of Israel. And therefore, to this day, we exist only thanks to the upper force. I want to look at things from a different angle and to represent a certain opinion, and I'll be happy to hear what you have to say about it. First of all, I'd like to differentiate between what's going on today and different historic stories from thousands of years ago. From my point of view, the point of view that I want to represent right now, it's good for people who like stories about things that happened thousands of years ago. I'm a realistic person. I look at results. I agree that the situation, the state that the people of Israel is in today, is not good. I agree. So I don't want to talk about stories from the Bible, stories from history, because I don't want to start arguing. There are people who do believe, people who don't believe. Let's put it aside. Let's start from our current situation, which is bad. And I agree that our country has to change itself completely, flip itself upside down. The way I see it, when I see people, Jewish people in the state of Israel yelling, "Death to Arabs, we have to go into Gaza and destroy everyone," I'm horrified that me and my children are part of this society. And therefore, the way I feel it, this is an apartheid state. And it's funny that what was done to us a few decades ago, we're doing to people that live not far away. So from this place, where I'm truly disgusted by the immoral actions that Israel is doing, I'd like to depict something new. Let's take a clean slate, and without historic stories and Abraham and things that I don't believe in, please depict what should the state of Israel look like, as a place that I'll be happy to raise my children and won't be offended by being Israeli. You draw it. It'll come out better. Draw a circle. What do you mean by a circle? It means that all of us are interconnected in a way that everyone is open towards everyone else. That's it. What do you mean open towards everyone? It means that according to the rule of love another as thyself, don't do to others what you hate, to be as one man and one heart, all of Israel are friends, and so on. All these things, somehow, from the smallest extent to the full extent, they have to somehow exist in us, among us. And along with it, we have to present it as an example to the rest of the nations of the world, and that means to be light for the nations. And once you start doing that, you'll see how all the nations of the world understand you and accept you in a completely different way. They're dying to take you as a guide. In this society that you've described with love and don't do to others what you hate and so on, do you see in such a new Israeli society calls like death to Arabs? There's no place to say that about anyone. Not about Arabs, or about Jews, or about anyone else. I drew a circle. Later on, the entire world has to become a part of that circle, and you have to set an example. It means then not to be the source of bad for the world, but the source of good. I didn't exactly understand what you said. My son came back from school, and he told me a joke about Arabs. And I was horrified that after I educate him and give him values of love for other people for so many years, he comes back from school and tells me a joke about Arabs. I was ashamed that this is what he comes back with. It's a good private school. The way I see it, they're destroying his soul. Will this happen in this round society where you're saying that you're late for the nations because this is where it comes from? I didn't explain enough. Love another as thyself. This goes only for Jews, or it applies also to Arab children? This circle has to include everyone. Okay, in the school where he goes to, he's taught to love another as thyself, but he's also taught that first of all it's towards Jews. They don't keep that either. It's just talk. Of course they don't keep it. It doesn't mean that they're taught about love another as thyself. It's like studying any other subject. It's not education. It's the acquisition of knowledge. When I study physics, I study a certain formula that this equals that and this and that. Fine, I learned it. The very same way I learn about love another as thyself. That's it. I even learn where it's written. When my son watches the news and he hears that kids were killed in Gaza, I want for him to have tears in his eyes instead of joy. Is this a just demand? Do you understand what love is? Probably I don't. You have to reach that. And if you didn't reach love yet, or you hurt for someone you love, put some emotions into it. I see that for you, this is a hollow slogan, a dead, lifeless slogan. This is why you're asking me, what is there to tell after this fact? Love another as thyself, it has to be that all of humanity, are connected in the image of one man, literally. And this is something that we'll have to achieve. So either our problems will push us towards that, or with the help of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we'll understand that this is the example that the Jews have to give to the world, and we'll reach it in a good, nice, and short way. I see examples of love of others in other countries which are 1,000 times greater than what we see here in the state of Israel. True. So why are you ascribing it to yourself and being light for the nations and so on? You said that love of others is to love all of humanity as one. I said that the method of how to achieve complete love exists in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a method that does not belong to the people of Israel, but that group that once came out of Babylon, those people that were once a part of all the different tribes and nations that lived back there, they realized this method called the wisdom of Kabbalah, and they became one people. And this is how they lived, between the first temple and until the destruction of the second temple. This is how they lived. And then they fell from that degree. In the people of Israel, there exists a rishimo, an inner impression from that state. And the entire method, the entire wisdom of how to achieve that exists in the wisdom of Kabbalah. How to achieve what? Love for others. The method of how to achieve love for others is the wisdom of Kabbalah. It belongs only to the Jews. It used to belong to the people of Israel back in those times. And also now, the people of Israel have to realize it for the entire world. I don't understand the answer. Can I study the method of Kabbalah in Gaza so that my children will love others? The Jews, they have to set an example for it, because they already experienced it in the past. They already realized it. They have this spiritual impression inside of them, and they have to set an example for the entire world. This means to be light for the nations. If you will bring the wisdom of Kabbalah to Gaza for them to realize the wisdom of Kabbalah on their own, it won't work. They need an example. They need teachers. And the example and the teachers is something that they have to get from the people of Israel. It's not a nation. It's not a people. It's a spiritual group that used to be in spirituality and then they fell from that spiritual degree. And therefore, we're not an ordinary nation. And also, this is how we're being treated. We are the transition between the spiritual force and the corporeal world. We have the ability of bringing light to the world. So if I understand what you're saying, by your perception, the Israeli nation is a nation that has an educational role towards humanity, which is to be teachers of how to love others according to this method that builds love in the heart of man towards others, called the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yes. Now, you're saying that a person can reach complete love towards others. Yes, regardless of what nation he belongs to. Simply love people wherever they are. No, they can't. No, I mean, you're saying there's a method called the wisdom of Kabbalah that develops in a person the feeling of love towards others. Right. This is what this method does? Yes, but this method has to be introduced by a special nation that has to set an example, that has to bring all of humanity to the realization of the method. So let's go step by step. Let's first of all talk about the method, and then we'll talk about those that are supposed to realize the method in practice, to lead the realization of this method in practice. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a method that builds love towards others in the heart of a person. Yes, when I say love towards others, there's no difference to love Jews or Africans or people in Gaza. To love a person, it's to love any person. Eventually, yes. So, first of all, there's hope. There's hope that man will love others wherever they are, whoever they are, regardless of what nation they belong to. Eventually, this is how it is. That a person will feel utter love towards everyone. Yes. Now, the ones that are supposed to lead the realization of this method in the world is the Israeli society. Yes. Why do you think that they will be able to do it if today I think that they're behaving the very opposite? It doesn't matter how they're behaving today. No one besides them can realize it because they have a reshimo, an impression from that spiritual state they were in. What does it mean, spiritual state? Love is called spirituality. Spirituality is called love. Why don't we feel it? Why don't we feel that we have this thing inside us? Why is it so hidden from us? Because we fell from that degree to unfounded hatred. Right now, we're in hatred. When I'm with some person, a certain relationship, sometimes I love him, sometimes I hate him. When I hate that person, I remember about the love, I'm ready to kill him. And the next moment, I love him, where's my hatred? Gone. That's how it is. Where's this thing, this reshimo inside us? It's inside us, it's there, you have to awaken it. And therefore, we were given a method of how to do it. What happened recently among our people is the awakening of this quality. We're awakening towards it, only the path is very hard. And we can awaken it if we ourselves will start realizing, implementing the method. If we open the book and start learning about who and what we are and how to do it, and what are the nations of the world demanding of us, and what is our obligation towards the world, towards the human system. Suddenly we'll discover such things that none of us thought or felt that this is how it is, because we're trying to shake it off. What do we study in school? Yeah, we gave Torah to the world. It's something cultural, good, nice. It's one big lie. This isn't what we gave to the world. And this unity that we felt during these times, the feeling of solidarity and support, and a feeling of a shared destiny, what was missing there? Because many people felt that they're not a part of it, because their opinion drove them away from the consensus. What were we lacking? So again, we come from all the nations of the world. We connected according to Abraham's call for love, for connection. And we connected. We succeeded in doing it. And as long as we were connected and we lived according to the law of love, we were called the people of Israel. And we lived correspondingly. When we fell from that principle of being as one man and one heart and so on, we fall from the level of love to the level of hatred. We also awaken hate towards us from the rest of the world. And also we ourselves awaken our roots, the roots inside us, from the rest of the nations of the world, from where we came from originally. So it's no wonder that today we don't want to be the people of Israel in the land of Israel. That all of us love each other and that all of us belong to each other. We hate ourselves. We don't like our people. We don't like our nationality. We don't like belonging to this. I want to get rid of it. And it's true. This exists in everyone in a more or less hidden way. It's there. It's present. The corporeal roots from the 70 nations of the world that exist in us and the spiritual roots. Now we have to awaken our spiritual roots. And this is possible to do only with the help of the wisdom of Kabbalah that explains this entire matter. Who are you? What are you? How to connect to all of this? How to pull the upper force, which is also one, to also turn you into one system and to show the world how is it possible to live together and love. The world is waiting for it. They want it, and they're willing to learn from us. See how much they feel that they depend on us. So if they feel that they depend on us, then show them something good, and then there will be peace in the world. It's like Olin asked. There's no difference between us and others. On the contrary, we have to be teachers, light for the nations. And this is something that they're expecting of us, and therefore they all agree with those that want to beat us up, because there's nothing that you can do with us in this state, but only to force us, like in Egypt, forcefully, through blows, to make us come out of this state. The true people of Israel that's inside of me, how do I realize it? Because I really saw examples for mutual support and solidarity. No, this is like animals. Excuse me, but this also exists on the animate level, mutual help and so on. Mutual guarantee. It's not mutual guarantee. In times of trouble, all of us want to help each other because instinctively we want to be together. It happens in every society, in every group, also on the animate level, not necessarily on the human level, because it gives psychological support, it helps, it raises a person's spirit, he feels safer, more interconnected. It's true, but it has nothing to do with love of others. What does have to do with love of others? It's such a deep interconnection that you can achieve only through a special kind of connection between us, that we attain from the acquaintance with the wisdom of Kabbalah. Okay, what is it? We want to do it. We want to understand how to do it. First of all, you have to either do it. We do it to some extent with the round tables and the workshops. We give a certain example for it, but it's not enough. We have to give everyone the fundamentals of the method. Where does it come from? Why is it happening? How do we realize it? Each one of us, one way or another, has to be a professional in this method, because this is a person's life, a person's soul. By this he builds his eternity, his independence. And therefore, it's not enough to simply hear about it a few minutes. But we have to understand, what is this world that we're living in? What is this system that's treating us? And how can we understand the forces of nature, change them, use them for our own benefit, and also to show to the rest of the world that, guys, let's connect. Look what a world's opening up before us. How can we not simply live together, but we can rise to an eternal, perfect degree, and not to remain here for a certain period of time to exist on earth, and that's where it ends. But really, the gates of the world open before us, and this is what subconsciously we want, and this is what the nations of the world want, only we have the key. And we have to try and reveal it. It's ready for use. I really hope that the pressure that we're experiencing today, also as a result of our inner anti-Semitism and also from the external pressure, this will be sufficient in order to divert the attention of the entire nation to learn about its internality, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah. There is the nation, and there is the book of instructions of how this nation has to exist, because without that, we see we want to be like the other nations of the world, and it doesn't work. We have to build ourselves according to these instructions, and I really hope that all these problems and calamities that we feel will be enough in order for us to do it. And if not, the problems and troubles will grow until they will force us to be the correct people of Israel and be light to the nations and bring the entire world to correction and a good and nice connection. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Our time's up. Thank you, Tal. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.